The human heart has a need to connect, especially at this time of year when it's dark and cold. So we bring you now stories from the village of Yellow Springs, gathered at the post office during one long day by WISO reporters and volunteers. It's an audio time capsule about a small town with a long history on the first day of the holiday mailing season, the Monday after Thanksgiving, 2010. Emily McCord was the first reporter to arrive at 7:45 a.m. While she waited in the lobby for the customer window to open, light glowed from behind the wall of post office boxes, little glass doors with numbers and stories inside each one, waiting to be told. At 8 a.m. sharp, the window flew open, like the curtain going up on a play, and there is Postmaster Dave Kennedy.
Is there something about being a postmaster that nobody else would know except for people that are postmasters?
Well, one of the things is you're appointed by the Postmaster General. That certificate up there, that's a little bit different than most jobs with the post office, an appointed position, so you put in for it. But what comes with that is the responsibility of the office. So things go wrong, it falls on your shoulders. But it does give you a sense of pride knowing that you got appointed the position, that they had the confidence in you to give you the position.
Dave presides proudly as villagers come. He and the staff are familiar faces.
I love them. They're like friends and family, and they've been very helpful in many ways. And one of the clerks, Molly, even one time to send a suit for my son, we packed it all together so that he could go on an interview for his job, which he was successful at, and so he got a job. So they're just like family and friends.
That's Tina Wingate. And here's Ruth Oschbacher.
It's been wonderful. They even since I have a heart attack, they even deliver the mail right to my door. And one day when I couldn't answer the door, the driver went and got the police to come to see that I was all right. But you couldn't find that in a big city.
And this is Greg Dewey. He grew up here.
So, you know, I came in with my mom and dad when I was little and still come here. And it's still the same good old office. I mean, it seemed really huge then, you know. I thought it was like a gigantic place. And, you know, these boxes seemed magical to me. I didn't know what they were, you know, because we didn't have one. But what are those? I thought, you know, there was, like, treasures in them or something. And they used to have the wanted guys up, you know, and I was afraid of that part. I'd go, walking around. Yeah, I didn't want to look at the bad guys.
The post office was built in 1941. It has a high ceiling and tall windows, a certain smell, and those wonderful desks where you can stand and write.
My name is Catherine Hitchcock, and I live in the village of Yellow Springs, and I'm really glad this post office is here. I guess I'm sort of proud of this little post office, you know. You go in the suburbs, and they're like in strip malls, and they're ugly. They're just ugly, and see the window over here that says stamps? Mm-hmm. They didn't find that until they cut a big hole there. Have you heard that story?
Yeah.
And that had been covered over, so Dave, our postmaster, said, well, leave it. And, of course, it has no purpose other than it's part of the history of the building. Mm-hmm. So in this little building here that isn't terribly grand but has all these nice little, it's nice in here, and it's cozy and people are friendly, and that's a reminder of the 1940s.
Well, I used to have a post office box here, and it was like belonging to a fraternity. Every morning, all the post office box people would meet, and we had a special friendship. One of my favorite post office box friends was Orvi Kirshner, I think his name was. And he, at the time, was 90, so he'd been the postmaster or the postman, so he knew everyone and everything. And then the Eamon guy who had the fire hydrant checking place, he'd been, like, to Mongolia and, you know, had his anniversary north of the Arctic Circle. I mean, people had really interesting stories. And I got my mail, so that's a good thing.
That was Donna. She talked to Jerry Kenny, who took over at 10:30 in the morning. Jerry found a lady well known in the village. She came to town in 1943. Her name is Wilberta Eastman, known as Billy.
I love the story that came down to me when I first came to Yellow Springs. There was a young man who, let's say, just didn't have quite all of his wits with him, and he worked for the post office. And he would take the mail from the post office down to the railroad station, because then the mail went out by rail. That's when we had a railroad going through here. And, oh, that was a very important job for this man who, oh, just loved being a part of the workings of the universe. And he had a bull whip, and he would go down the street with his mail, and he would crack his whip as he went along.
Why did he crack that whip? As if to say, I'm on important business, get out of my way?
Important. You see, people have been overlooking me all these times, and now I got an important job, and boy, I'm going to let people know it. That's what Yellow Springs is. They look to the needs of everybody. Here was a young man, energetic, wanted to be important, and they gave him a job.
Just as Jerry's getting the warm fuzzies, in pops a young guy, moving fast and all business.
I'm Anthony Berry, and I'm the owner over at Superfly Comics and Games. It's holiday season. We got all kinds of internet sales going on all the time, and it's just really kicked up lately. Comics and action figures and related stuff. Everything that goes out our door goes to this post office.
Juliette Fromholt took over from Jerry, and she found Nason McElargy, a local potter.
I couldn't live without it. I mean, I have a business, my own business, and I ship a lot, so I prefer to ship USPS, and it's convenient for me. And it gives me an excuse to come downtown.
Hello, I'm Luke Brennan. I live in Yellow Springs.
Do you come to the post office often?
I do. I come here at least once a month to get a money order for rent, and also occasionally to mail things.
Do you find it convenient to have a post office right here in town?
Yeah, I like that. There's some things I don't like about the post office. Like they're closed on like really obscure holidays, and UPS isn't. So then I end up going to a UPS. The post office in general I think is pretty cool. You know, you get door to door across the country, less than a dollar. I think that's neat.
Do you think, how would it affect you if we didn't have a post office here in Yellow Springs, if you had to go to, like, Fairborn or Springfield or Xenia or something?
Depending on how much time I had, I feel like if I had about 3 years, I could replace everything the post office does with email. No offense. If I could print out a shipping label from my bed, and then slap it on a box and then stumble out to the mailbox and throw it in, that would definitely be more convenient than coming down here.
Do you think we'll be printing shipping labels from bed one day? Postmaster Dave isn't worried about that.
To me, I may be a little old-fashioned. I'm a firm believer in cycles, and technology is technology. It goes in cycles. People enjoy new technology, but it just goes for a period of time, and people will go back to the old ways a little bit. And I think people miss that communication, the handwritten letter. You can store an email on your computer, but you can get a letter. You can put it in your dresser drawer and keep it. You can keep it on your refrigerator, just like you do your kids when they make cards up for you. There's a difference.
The difference is the human heart, that connection we need and want, and we can get it at the post office.
And it's just a swell gathering place. It's a place where one can walk in and undoubtedly see somebody they know. It just represents the best of the community.
Marcia Sauer came to town as a student in the early 70s. She was interviewed by WYSO volunteer Katie Tilley, who's new to town this year. Sarah Buckingham just came back to town, and she likes hearing old stories. At the post office, she met Ed Dressler, who was a little nervous about being interviewed, but did want Sarah to know about the mural on the lobby wall. Maybe you've seen it. A man is sitting on a log reading a book. It went up just after the post office was built, and Ed remembers those days.
How does that make you feel when you look at it? What do you think about?
Hard times, but at the same time, given an opportunity to, he's reading a book. Obviously, he must have been in one of the education programs or the arts programs funded by the federal government during the Depression. Hard work, like an Abraham Lincoln in a way. Hard work and or telling where you're going to end up. So I'm real big on that era because I was a former park director in Greene County, and we have a roadside rest area up on 42, and that was built by the CCC, and it's still there. It's the only one left in Greene County, and very few like it anywhere in Ohio. So.
The CCC was the Civilian Conservation Corps. Ed remembers the Great Depression, when people had to be creative in order to survive, not unlike today.
Mind if I ask you what you're mailing?
My 15-year-old has an eBay business, and this is all his stuff. He sells things on eBay.
What does he sell?
These are CD players, like the big kind. You can put a sound system. He got them from Goodwill for like $5.99, and he sold them for $25. And I've made like 3 trips. This is real convenient from where I work. I could just come here. I live in Springfield. It's easier to come here than there. So.
And so is he making a lot of money this way?
Yeah, he made $2,000 this summer. He goes to garage sales and gets the family and everything. I think anybody wants to get rid of, and he sells it. He does his postage, and all they have to do is stop here. He does everything.
Does it seem like it's picking up for the holidays now?
It just depends on. This summer he went to a lot more garage sales and found more junk. So he sold everything that we possibly ever wouldn't use at our house. So now he's running out of stuff.
Tony Barry from Superfly Comics is not running out of stuff. He's back again with a huge stack of manila envelopes.
Do you mind if I bug you for a minute, Tony?
I actually already did an interview today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, this is my second trip.
This is your second trip to the post office?
More. Yes.
Can I ask you what you're mailing on your second trip?
Oh, all kinds of comics, and I forget what else. Action figures. We got a bunch of Barbies in there that we're selling on consignment for somebody. It's all Amazon sales, mostly. I mean, everything that goes out our door is going through these guys' hands.
Were you expecting to have to come back today?
Yes. Yes, it's late November. Holiday season has definitely kicked in. I expect to come back 3 or 4 times today.
A young guy in a big brimmed hat comes in, named Eric. He's known as Brother Wolf. The hat has a feather.
This post office to me represents the positive ability of government to do good things for good people. And I think that as Americans, we have a tendency to focus on the aspects of government that fail us or seem intrusive, while the aspects that are successful we ignore. And I think this post office is a standing monument to the success of government and how it can serve people. Because honestly, my business could not exist without the post office. If I was trying to do what I do with UPS or FedEx, it wouldn't work.
What's your business?
I'm a professional storyteller. And I mail packages to some of my guests for my show, and it's just very cost-effective to do it at the post office.
And can I ask you about what you're mailing today, a little holiday stuff, or just taking care of day-to-day business?
No, I was just going to see if I'm expecting a package back from a guest today, but it looks like it'll be tomorrow.
Eric sends people a small digital recorder. He's collecting stories through the mail. Dr. Carl Hyde is doing something similar.
I correspond with a lot of inmates on Ohio death row. So I usually send letters or cards 2 or 3 times a week. And I come in to send them and to buy stamps. I'm a Quaker, mm-hmm. and I'm very much opposed to executions. Mm-hmm. So that has led me to communicate with the men on death row, mm-hmm. to exchange letters with a number of them. They're all different and all interesting, and many of them don't get much correspondence. So for some, it's the only letter they get.
It's that heart-to-heart feeling we want, and the sense of touch. Diana Partee prefers to mail her packages from the post office for just that reason.
Because I get to touch them and wrap them and put a little personal feel to them, and I think I'm going to have one bag this year that's going to be Mother Says, and then I'm going to put little things in it, like things to clean your teeth more closely, I've noticed. And then our eye doctor told us to be sure and shampoo your eyebrows and eyelashes with baby shampoo once or twice a week. Little critters can get in there, and you can't see them, but that's what she told us. It's like, they can feel me. or, you know, they can say, oh, Mom, and roll their eyes and whatever they need to do, but because they're not going to be here. Sometimes they are, you know, but this year they're not going to be. So to me it's even more important to put the hand touch on it and send it to them.
A lady named Peggy knows about the hand touch, too. She comes into the post office late in the day with a package that she insists on sending first class. No media rate for her. She wants to be absolutely certain that the package arrives.
Favorite person to come down here and mail things to is my little great-niece, who's 7 in Michigan.
And what kind of stuff do you send her?
She always looks forward to the packages from Peggy. They're always, ooh, good. It could be all sorts of anything, you know. It could be a scarf. It could be books. It could be seasonal kinds of stuff. It could be seashells from the seashore. I mailed her a bunch of Buckeyes in the fall. It's just a various a sundry of things, but she likes them when they get an Ohio postmark.
Peggy spends the $5 it costs to send a little bit of herself to a friend.
Just put that penny in the penny thing.
All right. I'll get you the receipt. There you go. Thank you, now.
Postmaster Dave makes change for her. He's still cheerful, still has time to talk to customers at the end of a very long day. Good thing, because here comes Tony one more time.
Hello again. What do you got this time?
More comics.
And this is what, trip number?
This is trip number 3 for the day. Jared is still up at the store packing more packages.
So, Dave, are there a lot of folks like Tony here who come in multiple times throughout the day?
Nobody like Tony.
If they didn't close so early, we'd probably still bring the packages down to, I don't know, 8 or something.
You remember on this right here in Yellow Springs?
Yeah.
You could drop us off to him on the way down the street.
Yes. If I've got one available.
Yeah. 5 reporters contributed to this story. Emily McCord, Jerry Kenny, Juliet Fromholt, Katie Tilley, and Sarah Buckingham, plus freelance producer Katie Davis. Thanks to Dave Kennedy and the post office staff and all the folks in Yellow Springs who took their time to chat. I'm Nina Ellis. From all of us at WYSO, happy holidays and a happy new year, too.
Thanks. All right, thank you, Nina. Have a good evening.
You too.
All right, that's it for us. We're going to close up.